Let's read together Psalm 72. In this Psalm of Solomon, the king prays that the Lord will bless and expand his kingdom in righteousness and peace. This messianic psalm looks forward to the worldwide earthly reign of Christ in righteousness and peace. Let's begin by reading the closing doxology of this psalm, beginning with verse 18. Blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who only does wondrous things, and blessed be his glorious name forever. And let the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. The prayers of David, the son of Jesse, are ended. Let's begin our study of Psalm 72 with some background notes. Psalm 72 ends Book 2 of the Psalms. Remember, we said that the entire book of Psalms was originally arranged in 5 sub-books when the complete book of Psalms was put together over a period of time. Book 2 includes Psalms 42 through 72. And just as Book 1 ended with a doxology at the end of chapter 41, so Book 2 ends with a doxology that we just read here at the end of Psalm 72. Notice in the last verse of this psalm, verse 20, that we read, "The prayers of David, the son of Jesse, are ended." This is probably an editorial note added to the fitting doxology of verses 18 and 19, which ends Book 2 of the Psalms. So here's an indication that we have come to the end of an early collection of David's psalms, which form the lion's share, or most of Book 2 of the Psalms. There are more Psalms of David to follow, Psalm 72, of course, but these will be in Books 3, 4, and 5 of Psalms, although most of the Psalms of Book 3 are written by Asaph or the sons of Korah. Now, probably the first thing we notice about Psalm 72 is that it was written by King Solomon, as we see from the title, A Psalm of Solomon. Only one other psalm is attributed to Solomon, namely Psalm 127. The theme of Psalm 72 is God's just and righteous rule over the earth. It is a prayer by King Solomon that God would bless and expand his kingdom in righteousness and peace. Because Psalm 72 is a messianic psalm, it anticipates and looks forward to the worldwide earthly reign of Christ. When he returns, the Lord will set up an enduring worldwide kingdom of righteousness and peace. And that brings us to our doctrinal points for Psalm 72. Doctrinal point number one, Psalm 72 expresses Solomon's desire for a worldwide kingdom of righteousness and peace. Psalm 72 expresses Solomon's desire for a worldwide kingdom of righteousness and peace. You will remember that early in Solomon's reign, he requested wisdom when the Lord offered him anything he asked for as the new king. The Lord was pleased with Solomon's request for wisdom. Let's read that account in 2 Chronicles chapter 1, beginning with verse 7. On that night, God appeared to Solomon and said to him, "Ask, what shall I give you?" And Solomon said to God, "You have shown great mercy to David my father and have made me king in his place. Now, O Lord God, let your promise to David my father be established, for you have made me king over a people like the dust of the earth in multitude. Now give me wisdom and knowledge that I may go out and come in before this people. For who can judge this great people of yours?" Then God said to Solomon, "Because this was in your heart, and you have not asked riches or wealth or honor, or the life of your enemies, nor have you asked long life, but have asked wisdom and knowledge for yourself, that you may judge my people over whom I have made you king. Wisdom and knowledge are granted to you, and I will give you riches and wealth and honor, such as none of the kings have had who were before you, nor shall any after you have the like." From 2 Chronicles chapter 1, verses 7 through 12. Solomon must have composed this prayer of Psalm 72 around the same time that the Lord appeared to him and granted his request. Because this prayer of Psalm 72 is certainly a prayer of a young king who is wise beyond his years. Notice what Solomon prays for in this psalm. In verses 1 through 4, he prays that his reign will be characterized by righteousness. Let's read these verses, verses 1 through 4. Give the king your judgments, O God, and your righteousness to the king's son. He will judge your people with righteousness and your poor with justice. The mountains will bring peace to the people and the little hills by righteousness. He will bring justice to the poor of the people. He will save the children of the needy and will break in pieces the oppressor. The mountains and hills mentioned in verse 3 are probably figurative expressions for government. In verses 5 through 7, Solomon prays for a reign of peace. Verses 5 through 7. They shall fear you as long as the sun and moon endure, throughout all generations. He shall come down like rain upon the grass before mowing, like showers that water the earth. In his days the righteous shall flourish, and abundance of peace until the moon is no more. A peaceful reign is like the blessing of rain on the land. Verse 6. In verses 8 through 11, the king prays for universal dominion. Verses 8 through 11. He shall have dominion also from sea to sea, and from the river to the ends of the earth. Those who dwell in the wilderness will bow before him, and his enemies will lick the dust. The kings of Tarshish and of the isles will bring presents. The kings of Sheba and Seba will offer gifts. Yes, all kings shall fall down before him. All nations shall serve him. Now, at first, it might seem that this is an egotistical request on the part of King Solomon, but it is really a request that the righteousness and peace of the one true God be expanded to all nations for the Lord's glory. It's somewhat like the prayer of Jabez in 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 10. Let's read that verse. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, Oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me and that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain. So God granted him what he requested. 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 10. In verses 12 through 15 of Psalm 72, Solomon prays that his reign would be characterized by compassion. Let's read these verses, verses 12 through 15. For he will deliver the needy when he cries, the poor also, and him who has no helper. He will spare the poor and needy, and will save the souls of the needy. He will redeem their life from oppression and violence, and precious shall be their blood in his sight. And he shall live, and the gold of Sheba will be given to him. Prayer also will be made for him continually, and daily he shall be praised. Notice how the sanctity of human life is emphasized in verse 14. He will redeem their life from oppression and violence, and precious shall be their blood in his sight. In verses 16 and 17, the young king prays that his kingdom would be prosperous. Verses 16 and 17. There will be an abundance of grain in the earth on the top of the mountains. Its fruit shall wave like Lebanon. And those of the city shall flourish like grass of the earth. His name shall endure forever. His name shall continue as long as the sun. And men shall be blessed in him. All nations shall call him blessed. Under the law, prosperity and material blessings in the land followed obedience and worship of the Lord. What a great prayer we have by young King Solomon in Psalm 72. Wouldn't it be great if our presidents would pray a prayer like this when they took office? Psalm 72 expresses Solomon's desire for a worldwide kingdom of righteousness and peace. Doctrinal point number 2. Psalm 72 envisions Christ's delight in his worldwide kingdom of righteousness and peace. Psalm 72 envisions Christ's delight in his worldwide kingdom of righteousness and peace. Now, when you read Psalm 72, it's hard to miss the fact that this psalm is messianic and looks forward to the greatest descendant of David and Solomon, the Lord himself. When he returns to this earth, he will establish a worldwide kingdom of righteousness and peace. He will reign with righteousness and justice. Verse 2, he will judge your people with righteousness and your poor with justice. His rule will be forever. Verse 5, they shall fear you as long as the sun and moon endure throughout all generations. He will rule from sea to sea and to the ends of the earth. Verse 8, he shall have dominion also from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. All the nations will serve him. Verse 11, yes, all kings shall fall down before him. All nations shall serve him. He will reign with care and compassion. Verse 13, he will spare the poor and needy and will save the souls of the needy. He will receive worldwide praise. Verse 15, and he shall live, and the gold of Sheba will be given to him. Prayer also will be made for him continually, and daily he shall be praised. The earth itself will be blessed with abundant crops. Verse 16, there will be an abundance of grain in the earth on the tops of the mountains. Its fruit shall wave like Lebanon, and those of the city shall flourish like grass of the earth. And the nations of the world will honor the true king. Verse 17, his name shall endure forever. His name shall continue as long as the sun, and men shall be blessed in him. All nations shall call him blessed. No wonder Psalm 72 closes with a doxology of praise to the Lord as the universal King of glory. Blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who only does wondrous things, and blessed be his glorious name forever, and let the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. Psalm 72 envisions Christ's delight in his worldwide kingdom of righteousness and peace. Now, what about practical application? Use Psalm 72 as a model prayer for our nation. Use Psalm 72 as a model prayer for our nation. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2, we are exhorted to pray for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. If we would follow the prayer of Psalm 72 as a model, we would be in line with this exhortation in 1 Timothy 2, verse 2. Pray that our nation would be characterized by righteousness. Pray that a righteous peace would prevail. Pray that we would be able to bring righteousness and peace to other nations. Pray that our rulers would be characterized by compassion. Pray that our nation would uphold the sanctity of life in reference to the unborn. Pray that our land would be prosperous and that we would thank and praise the Creator for this prosperity. And finally, in line with the closing doxology of this psalm, pray that the one true God would be glorified in our nation and around the world. Use Psalm 72 as a model prayer for our nation.